Welcome to the People's Baptist Hour, heard weekly here on WOTC, winning others to Christ. This service is coming to you from People's Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia, with Pastor Richard Forsythe. We pray that God will use today's message to touch your heart, and if we can be of any help to you spiritually, please call area code 540-434-6554. Now let's join the service.
What is your condition spiritually before the Lord today? What is your relationship with Him? Do you find yourself loving Him? Do you find yourself wanting to please Him in every way, in everything you do? Is that true in your life? Are you conscious of the Lord's presence each and every day? Doing all that you can for Him, to honor Him, to please Him. Where are you today in your human spirit? Where are you today in your heart before the Lord? Only you can answer that. We're here in the name of Jesus Christ. We're here because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're here because of our salvation in Him. We're here to honor Him, sing praises to Him. We're here to worship Him with our gifts. We're here to hear from Him and His Word. And I trust His Word will take root in our hearts today. We're looking at Psalm 51 and verses 15 through 17. Familiar to us, but it's so easy for passages to be familiar to us, and yet we look over them. We don't really ascertain, get deep into what they really tell us, what they really mean. Psalm 15 through 17 has these words for us from the Lord. It says, O Lord, the psalmist said, David said, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a what? And a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Let us pray together. Father, again, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for our salvation in Him. Thank you for the time that we gather as believers in Jesus Christ on the Lord's Day to worship you, to praise you, Father, to adore you in all that we do, because these services, Father, are about you, not about us. It's about us to be fed, about us to learn, about us to be challenged in how we live our lives before you and whether, Father, we please you or not. We ask you to work in our hearts, each and every one of us. If we name the name of Jesus Christ, may we bear that name in the way that we should. May our lifestyle be what it should be. May our attitudes and all that we do be in every way pleasing to you. We ask you to work in our hearts, our lives. Bless these words, these thoughts, Father, today as we preach. In Jesus' name, amen. What's a Christian's greatest need today? If someone was to ask you that question, what would you say? What is a Christian's greatest need today? What is the church's greatest need today? I'm sure in your minds, as we are gathered in this place, there's a lot of thoughts that come up to the answer of that question. But one of the greatest needs that we have today as Christians is the power of God. The power of God. For we can't be the Christian we should be. We can't honor God like we should without the power of God in your life. Do you all agree? Amen. Do you understand that today? Amen. You must have the power of God in your life. The church must have the power of God in the church to accomplish what God would have us do. The greatest need for a Christian today is the power of God. Now, let's be warned, because the Bible tells us we are living in what we call the what? What do you think? We're living in the last days, the latter days before Jesus Christ returns. By the way, do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back? Amen. Do you believe that the rapture is going to take place? Can it take place at any time? Absolutely. And are you ready for it? Are you excited about it? Are you looking forward to it? Because you should be. But that can happen at any time. Now, the Lord tells us very plainly that in the latter days there's going to be problems. Isn't that what he tells us? And we are warned in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that people or Christians will face perilous times in the last days. And the possibility for Christians to become lovers of themselves. What do you think that means? That means we're consumed about ourselves. How we feel, what we do, how we're living in life. We're consumed about us. We're not supposed to be consumed about us, are we? We're supposed to be consumed with the Lord, pleasing Him. You see, Christianity is a demanding thing. It expects things from every person that names the name of Jesus Christ, who is a believer. So we are warned in 2 Timothy 3 that in the days in which we live, Christians will face perilous times. They have the possibility of becoming lovers of themselves. They have the possibility to become proud. They have the possibility to become unthankful. They have the possibility to become unholy. The Lord also warns us that Christians will come to have a form of godliness. That probably describes a lot of Christianity today. This is a form of godliness. There's a form of religion. There's a form of worship. But how much is God in it? How much is heart in it? How much is sincerity in it? How much is the real in it? Because we can get to the place that we just have a form that we practice. We come to church, once in a while anyway. We come to church. We worship the Lord, hopefully. But it says in this passage that the Lord warns us that Christians will come to have a form of godliness, but deny what? The power thereof. Deny the power of the gospel. Deny the power of God. Deny the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians and the church's greatest need today is the power of God, is godliness. Godliness. In Psalm 51, as we read that today as believers, God is challenging us to have. And he said, this is all your sacrifices, he's telling Israel and so forth, all the things that you do, practicing for the Lord. God desires this, and this is what he wants from us. And this is what's needed today. This is a challenge to us because this is what we need today in the church of Jesus Christ. This is what's needed today in the life of every believer. And what is it? Two things. Two things. A broken spirit. Broken, by the way, means taking action to break up prideful desires. We're to break it up. Do away with it. Destroy it, if you will. We're to have a broken spirit. What's the spirit? The spirit is your human spirit. The spirit is your mind. The spirit is your will. You know, we could pause and ask the question, have you as a believer in Jesus Christ totally submitted yourself to the Lord? You've given everything to Him. He is in control of everything you do in life. Have you come to that point to where your will is broken and God's will is put in place and your life is governed by God Himself? Not your flesh. So God challenges us to have a broken spirit, to break it up, tear it up, to destroy that human spirit, that mind, that fleshly mind, that fleshly will. It's to be broken up. It's to be destroyed. Now he says also, what's the second thing? He says, you're to have, I want you to have, and this is what I desire for you, to have a broken spirit. Secondly, a what? Are you with me? A contrite heart. What's a contrite heart? What do you think contrite means? It means a humble heart. It means a surrendered heart. It means it's a heart that's remorseful for anything that's wrong in it. It means a penitent heart. A heart that repents from the things that they know is wrong, or it knows is wrong. As we think of our emotions and we think of our will, I ran across on the internet today several posts of churches that have the Spirit of God. People totally out of control. People acting crazy. Going wild. All over the place. And I looked at that boy and I tell you what, in my spirit I knew that was not right. Amen. That's not the Holy Spirit of God. But that's popular among many people. That when the Holy Spirit comes on you and so forth, you just lose your mind. You hit your head against the wall, you dance, you can't control yourself, you're all over the place. So some Christians today have misguided emotions, the Pentecostals and so forth. The problem, though, with biblical Christianity, the problem with us today, is we have very little emotion. We have very little heart in our worship of God. We have very little heart in our living for God. We have very little heart in our service for the Lord. We have very little heart in the matter of being faithful to Him and wanting to please Him. The problem with biblical Christianity is they have little or no emotions for the things of God. There's no tears shed anymore. Now, I remember a time when people did shed tears. Shed tears for their lost loved ones. Shed tears for the condition of their country. Shed tears for the church. Shed tears for those who were suffering. They were tender. They were emotional. Their hearts were in it. But today, we're seeing a Christianity that has little or no emotions for the things of God. There's no tears today. People come to the altar, but they're not broken. They come to the altar, there's no tears shed. And what we find, generally speaking, is the churches are filled with people with pride. They have a lot of pride. They're calloused. They've become hardened, kind of toughened themselves against the things of God. They become stubborn. They simply have no heart for God. They have it here. They know what's right. They know what the doctrine is. They know what's true. They believe the Bible is true. But their heart's not in it. They have no heart that's stirred for the Lord. What's wrong? Well, I think this passage addresses what's wrong. We don't have contrite hearts. We have stubborn hearts. Calloused hearts, hard hearts. There's no tears. People are suffering all around us. We've got friends and family that are suffering all around us. We've got lost people that are dying and going to hell every day. We see the results of sin all around us. But it doesn't touch us. It doesn't bother us. It's just part of living. I think for Christians it ought to be more than that, don't you? What do you think? I think it ought to affect us. I think we ought to be concerned, even about, generally speaking, Christianity today, where we see churches going and what's happening as far as worshiping the Lord and preaching the word and what's happening. The Lord tells us in the latter days we're going to see these things, but we should not be part of that. Those things described about the latter days should not, we should not be a part of that. We should not look like that. But we see a Christianity with very little heart. The great need of the hour is for Christians to be in the place that the Lord describes in Psalm 51. We need to have broken spirits. We need to have a contrite heart. The need is brokenness. The need is brokenness where the flesh is not in control, but the Holy Spirit is in control. The need is great because many Christians try to serve God in their own strength, in their own way, doing what they think God wants them to do, but not so much led by the Holy Spirit telling them what they should do. We have a tendency to go to the Bible and take from it what we want to obey, what we want to do, but we avoid those passages to tell us other things that we really don't want to do or don't like to do or are uncomfortable in. The need is great, and many Christians are trying to serve God in their own strength. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ says, without me, you can do nothing. We've spent much time talking about Jesus as the vine and us as the branches. We have no life without him. We have no strength without Jesus Christ. We're not talking about Christianity. We're talking about a relationship personally with Jesus Christ. Being personally connected to him as a branch to that vine. And out of that vine comes power, comes emotion, comes a heart, and a spirit that's broken. Jesus again reminds us, you can do nothing without me, and the flesh cannot accomplish anything. Romans chapter 8, verse 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They that are controlled by their flesh and by their own desires, by their own thoughts and by their own mind and their own strength, they cannot please God. And they do not have the power to be the Christian they ought to be. They don't have the wisdom to be the Christian they ought to be. And I'll say this as well, they don't have the peace of God in their hearts and their lives. We're left. You are left with the fact that God cannot use you until your spirit is broken and your heart is remorseful and your heart is humble before the Lord. Listen, you dare not neglect the power of God in your life. You dare not neglect the power of God in your life. Without Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do nothing. So first of all, consider this. You cannot neglect the fact that the Holy Spirit, God's power, is essential for you to be saved. Brings us back to salvation, doesn't it? Remember, the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 5 tells us that, 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that once we're saved and born again, as Jesus said, we have a what? New nature. We're a new creation. We're a new creature. Old things that used to be in the flesh are what? Passed away. Behold, all things become what? New in Jesus Christ and under the power of God. You cannot neglect the fact that the Holy Spirit is essential to your salvation. He convinces you, He convicts you that you are a sinner before a holy and righteous Creator God. And all of us are sinners. Say amen. Well, not amen, but yes, that's so. Don't want to say, let it be so. No, we don't want to. Yeah. But you understand, amen? The Holy Spirit brings you to repent from being a sinner. He brings you to repent from sinning against God. Without the Holy Spirit and salvation, you have no salvation. A lot of people get religion. A lot of people turn over a new leaf. A lot of people get baptized. A lot of people join the church. But none of that will save you. A lot of people do the best they can, but that will not save you. It is the power of the Holy Spirit of God that convinces you that you are a sinner, convicts you about being a sinner, and convicts you about sinning against God. That's the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you have no salvation. Without the Holy Spirit, you have no assurance of salvation. Many people forever begin to question whether I'm saved and going to heaven or not. They don't get the assurance of salvation. But without the Holy Spirit, you have no assurance of salvation, of being saved and going to heaven. It tells us in the Scripture, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the what? Children of God. It's the Holy Spirit that convinces us that we are the children of God. We know that down in our soul. We know that down in our own spirit. The Holy Spirit testifying to our spirit that we are the children of God. And also, He is essential in your salvation. And I trust you know Christ as your Savior today. And I trust you've been convinced or convicted by the Holy Spirit of God that you were a sinner before God. And I hope that you have conviction in your soul now that when you sin against God, you know it. The Holy Spirit convinces and convicts you it's wrong. The Holy Spirit is essential for you living godly in Christ Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit of God and the power of God in you, folks, you can't live the Christian life. You can't be the Christian that God wants you to be. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the one that produces what? The fruit of the Spirit. Do you remember them? The Holy Spirit is the one that produces love in your life. Love for Jesus Christ. Amen? You will love God through the Holy Spirit of God. Love for other people. You'll love other people through the Holy Spirit of God. You won't do that in your flesh. You will do it through the Holy Spirit of God. He produces love. He produces joy. We talked about rejoicing in the Lord a lot. Is that important? Yes, because it's a mark and a sign of the Holy Spirit of God controlling you. You have joy in your soul. The Holy Spirit produces joy. The Holy Spirit produces peace. We live in a troubled world. We live in a troubled country. We have death and mayhem all around us, do we not? But the Christian has peace. Where does that peace come from? That peace comes from the production of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering or patience. Gentleness is another one. We're gentle people, not violent or vicious people. We're gentle people. We're good people. Amen? That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We have faith. Holy Spirit produces faith in us to where we can trust the Lord. Amen? And depend upon Him. Meekness is one. Temperance, self-control is another one. We're people that are self-controlled. That is, we are in control of ourselves through the Holy Spirit of God, not fleshly control. The Holy Spirit is essential for fervent, effectual prayer. Do you ever wonder why your prayers seem like just go to the ceiling? They don't go anywhere else? It all feels cold. It all feels like it's not real. It's not alive and so forth and so on. You pray, but it seems that, you know, it just, well, I guess I would use the word boring. It gets boring. Seems like it goes nowhere or does anything. The power of the Holy Spirit, folks, helps you pray. With groanings that cannot be uttered, the Bible tells us. The Holy Spirit is essential for your ability to serve and do the work of the Lord. He gives you gifts. Gifts to be used in the church. Spiritual gifts. You have them recorded in three passages of Scripture in the New Testament. He gives you gifts to be used for the body of Jesus Christ. We need to find out what those gifts are and use them for His glory. The Holy Spirit is essential. And this is a weakness of the church today for sure, because we have no emotion for lost people. We have no heart for lost people. We're not really concerned if people we work with or go to school with or live by, so forth and so on. We have no concern, no heart for them, whether they're going to die and go to hell or not. It makes no difference. We're calloused now. We're hard in that way. We have no burden for the lost. They're going to have an outreach next week. There's not many signed up out of this church. Good number here today. Very few signed up. Leaders ought to be signing up, don't you think? Teachers, deacons ought to be signing up. They ought to be involved. You ought to be involved. Everybody ought to be involved. I think we have seven. And one's questionable already. I'm just saying, we have no heart for the lost. We have no heart for our own people. We have no heart for shut-ins. We have no heart for folks that are suffering. We may pray for them and say we do, and we do that on Wednesdays, but what else do we do? We do provide meals. We do a lot. I'm not trying to put you down. Thank you for what you do do. I don't mean to be that negative today, but I'm just saying this is an issue with the church today. We don't have emotions for lost people. The Holy Spirit is essential for your ability to serve the Lord and do His work. The Holy Spirit is essential for witnessing. Acts 1:8, you know it well. But you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be, what's the word?
Witnesses.
The Holy Spirit is essential for witnessing. If there's no witnessing, let's say this. If there is no witnessing, there is no Holy Spirit. There is no Holy Spirit in control. There's no Holy Spirit that's empowering. That there's no witnessing. The Holy Spirit is essential for you knowing and understanding the Word of God. Flesh cannot discern God's truth, for it is spiritually discerned. That's why many, maybe some of you, read the Bible today and you just don't get anything out of it. You have your personal devotions, you read through it, and you get it done because you're supposed to read so much. You have a schedule that you're supposed to read it, but you read it through, but it doesn't do anything for you. You don't get anything out of it, but you do your duty that you've had your little devotion today. That's why if the Holy Spirit's not involved, folks, it doesn't mean much to us. When we get saved, God gives you the power you need to serve and witness for Him. May I say this, you lack nothing except a broken spirit and a surrendered heart and will. That's what you lack. That's what we lack. That's what we all lack, I think. That's what we all lack. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, we are all baptized by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, into the body of Jesus Christ, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. We're to drink of the Holy Spirit. What does drink mean? Drink means to place under influence. It's a power and leading. It's the same as being drunk with wine, as it talks about in Ephesians 5:18, which controls conduct. The filling of the Holy Spirit is being under His influence, under His control. He affects our conduct, what we do, how we think. And by the way, Ephesians 5:18 tells us you are to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's a command, by the way. You are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You're commanded. It is not optional for Christians who love the Lord and are obedient to Him. By the way, that command is in the present tense. What does that mean to us? That command is in the present tense. What does it mean? It means that you're to be continually filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. What's required to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Everybody want to know? How many? How many are still awake? Raise your hand if you're still awake. You still with me? I know you think I'm fussing today, but I'm not. I'm sharing with you one of the greatest truths that's needed today. The greatest truth that you need, I think, and myself. The present tense is to me continually filled with the Holy Spirit of God. What is required to be filled with the Holy Spirit? He tells us right here. A broken will, a broken spirit, and a contrite or humbled heart before God. One that's surrendered to Him. Now, what does that do? What does that do, a broken spirit and a contrite heart? What does that produce? If you have a broken spirit and a contrite heart, what does that produce in your life? I'll tell you what it will produce. Number one, it will produce a desire to love God. It will produce a desire to love God, a desire to please God, a desire to serve God. That's what it will produce in you. Also, it will give you desire to love God, to please Him, and to serve Him. And by the way, that is the evidence of your being born again. If you have a love for God, if you have a desire to serve Him, a desire to please Him, that indicates to you that you're really born again, that you're really saved. And this is what the Holy Spirit produces in your life. What else will a broken spirit and a contrite heart produce? It will produce a denouncement of sin. You'll hate sin. You'll get as far away from it as you can. The problem with many Christians today is they move as close to sin without being absolutely disobedient to God as they can. We live as close to the world as we can. We live as close to sin as we can. The Holy Spirit produces the denouncement of sin. Having sin in your life, you cannot pray. Having sin in your life, you cannot love God. To have sin in your life, you cannot please God. To have sin in your life, you cannot serve Him like you should. It may be the sins of commission. What does that mean? You're committing some sin that God condemns. That's what commission is. Maybe sins of commission. Or it may be sins of, what's the other word?
Omission.
What is it?
Omission.
What is it?
Omission.
What does that mean?
Not doing what you're supposed to do.
It means leaving things out that you're supposed to do. God tells you to do this, go into all the world and preach. He tells you to witness to everybody, but we won't do it. Is that a sin? It's a sin of omission. God has given you a command, but you won't obey it. So we are guilty. We need to denounce the sin. If the Holy Spirit's in control, broken spirit and a contrite heart, we will denounce sin. Adrian Rogers, he said this. That's a good preacher. Amen. He's gone now. But boy, he's a good preacher. Adrian Rogers said this, the heart of the human problem. What is the heart of the human problem? The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. How about that? You see, the heart's the problem. And that's what God's addressing in this passage. When you are controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, it also produces in you a dedication to live a sacrificial life. You'll be dedicated to living a sacrificial life, dedicated to living a holy life, a life that is acceptable to God. That's what the Holy Spirit will do if you've got a broken spirit and a contrite heart. You'll be dedicated to a sacrificial life. How many of you know Romans 12:1? As I mentioned, Romans 12:1, how many of you know what it says? Come on, raise your hand. Now, I'm concerned about those folks. I'm just kidding. Because I know you say, Romans 12, I would do that too. Now, where is that? And what does that say? But Romans 12:1 is one that you really ought to think about because it says this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Brethren means Christians, means those that are saved and born again. By the mercies of God, because God is merciful, that you do what? You present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. That is, you as a Christian are supposed to sacrifice your body for the cause of Jesus Christ. You're supposed to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, it says next. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, why is it reasonable? Because the word therefore. I beseech you, therefore. What does that mean? That means there's something else that was before it. Isn't that right? We all know that, don't we? There's something else before it. Well, what's before it? You go back to Romans 11 and 10 and so forth. It's talking about salvation. Talking about what God has done for you in salvation, what Jesus Christ has done for you. So what's he saying here? By the mercies of God. I therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of your salvation. So this is understandable that you would offer yourself a sacrifice. It's understandable. It's reasonable because you are now a new creation in Jesus Christ and you're empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Here's a thought that somebody wrote. If you're thinking of being a Christian, if you are thinking of being a Christian, I warn you right now, it's going to require all of you. All of you. Christianity requires all of us as a sacrifice. A broken spirit, contrite heart will also produce dedication. Dedication to the cause of Jesus Christ. You can define that or illustrate it by saying, dedication is writing your name on the bottom of a blank page and handing it to the Lord to fill in the rest. A contract with him and he'll fill in the contract. A broken spirit, contrite heart requires you to depend upon the Holy Spirit of God. What's the Lord tell us? Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. Second thought, right quick. I'm out of time already. Not unusual for me. You become a new person in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new what? Creature, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. What's the second thought? As your lifestyle changes. Your lifestyle changes when you become a Christian. By the way, your lifestyle is to work for God. Why? Because you are created to be a workman for God in Christ Jesus. Did you know that? You are created in Christ Jesus to be a workman for God. Why are you saved? Not just to go to heaven. You're saved to be a workman for God. Say amen.
Amen.
You're saved to be a workman for God. Ephesians 2:10. You are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Good works are God's works, which God has ordained that you do. That's what it says. So your lifestyle is given to good works, which is the works of God. Your lifestyle is a lifestyle that is a bright light in a dark and sinful world. You are to be a bright light Your lifestyle is to be a bright light in a dark and sinful world. Acts chapter 13, verse 47. Note what it says here. Jesus told his disciples, I have set you to be light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. That's a big job, isn't it? Why did he save us? To be a bright light in a dark world. I set you as a light, he said, he told the disciples among the Gentiles, and that you shall be for salvation unto the ends of the earth, that is the whole world. You're to be a light to the world. You're to be a light to unbelievers. Your lifestyle is to be governed by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith, trusting God. Amen. Your lifestyle is to be a lifestyle that is worthy to the Lord and pleasing to him. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Your lifestyle is to live up to your profession. You profess to be a Christian? How many of you profess to be a Christian? I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. By the time I've been born again. Okay? You're to live up to your profession. You're to live up in what the Bible says a Christian is and how he should live his life. You're to live up to your profession of salvation and your calling. Ephesians 4:1. Christians are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. How's your spirit? Is it broken? Your will broken? You surrendered to the Lord completely? How's your spirit? How's your heart? Is it broken and humble before God? Does he have every room in your heart, or do you have some rooms that you keep to yourself? Third thought is, to have a broken spirit and a contrite heart, you must defeat the enemies that oppose you. What enemies oppose you? All right, let's start with one. Let's start with the world. You must defeat the world system in which you live. The world's a big drawer, isn't it? We live in it, don't we? We're influenced by it, aren't we? And we pick up on it a lot, and we identify a whole lot with the world rather than heaven. But we're supposed to be a different people. You must defeat the world system in which you live. The world, remember this in Ephesians 2, the world follows a course that opposes God. The world is governed by the prince and the power of the air. Who is that? Satan. And the works in those that disobey God. The world works in those that disobey God, children of disobedience. It's a system inhabited by those with a lifestyle that fulfill the desires of their flesh, desires of the mind, and they live under the wrath of God, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. What did Jesus tell us about the world? That in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Boy, that's true, isn't it? But be of good cheer, Jesus said, I've overcome the world. 1 John 2, this is a passage we all know. Love not the world, the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life and so forth, and the lust of the eyes is not of God, but is of the world. And the world, listen, all that's going to pass away. But he that does the will of God abides forever. You have a broken spirit and a contrite heart? You must defeat the desires of the flesh. The flesh is not to control you. And the devil. How about it? I know it's been a strong message. It's been one that I think we should be challenged with. Because we as believers in Jesus Christ have got to get busy in serving Jesus Christ. We can't do it without the power of God. Amen?
Amen.
We can't do it, folks, without the power of God. And that power will only come when we will have a broken will, broken spirit, our lives turned over completely to Him, where we've submitted to His will, our will to His will. A contrite heart is a humble heart. It's a tender heart. It's a heart that's repentant, penitent, if you will. Stays right with the Lord. I trust the Lord will use His word in our lives today. I'm going to ask us to bow our hearts and our heads before God in this place at this time, and that we will go to a time of prayer. And I'm going to ask you to pray for yourself. I want you to go to the Lord and pray for yourself. And ask the Lord, do I have a broken spirit? Ask the Lord, do I have a contrite heart? And ask Him to answer your question.
We trust that God used today's message to work in your life. If you are unsure of where you'll spend eternity, don't let another day go by without getting the answer. If we can be of spiritual help, please call area code 540-434-6554.